Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you've caught up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. It just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in to another Behind the Bets podcast. We're taping this a little later in the Thursday afternoon, September 26th, so hopefully you have time to download it ahead of tonight's game. We have Mike Clay coming up at the end of the show. He's got a few prop bets on this game, so for Thursday night football, Eagles visiting the Packers. Can Philly really start 1-3? It certainly looks that way, but the spread is 4. Mr. Executive Director has a play on tonight's game as well, so get listening to that. Travis, how are you, my friend? You ready for a nice NFL pod?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm ready. I'm actually excited about this Thursday night. I'm hoping the Packers can go ahead and cover this one.
Why? You got some action here?
Well, I like the Packers, but I'm also a Cowboys fan.
Oh, okay.
So anytime the Eagles lose, it's a win for me, but also I think the Packers, with all the injuries that the Eagles are dealing with, I think this is a spot for them.
It's certainly the public play, you would think, on this. So we'll see. All right, my man, let's roll. Let's get to it with Mr. Director first and then Mike Clay next.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Mr. Executive Director, what is going on? There are people who just chime at me. They're getting as irate about this kicking situation, and I'm sure you're fielding it on Twitter as well.
I think we're educating the next generation, Doug. Like that sort of be our legacy, is showing the young people how stupid kicking short field goals and punting on the other side of the other side of the 50, I should say, is. We're educating the next generation of football fans.
I have a confession to make. I made a prop bet on field goals. And
under?
Was
it an under?
Well, no. I was actually betting over total field goals because of what's going on with our boy Cliff Kingsbury. And
yeah, Kingsbury loves him some field goals.
Yeah.
Man, he's
so
a big field goal
I
guy.
Went over 3.5 in the Arizona-Carolina game, and I only got 3. That's because Arizona couldn't get a stop until the very, very end. They had 5 touchdowns and then finally kicked a field goal. So everything was shaping up. I was just hoping Arizona would, get inside the 10, play for the field goal, and you get an extra one. So I played over 3.5 and lost.
Your handicap made sense because I know Kingsbury can't wait to send in the kick team. he loves – even when he's inside, like, the 5-yard line, I see this guy kicking field goals. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, what I actually looked for was the under on the shortest field goal made, and I couldn't find one on that game. I think that's a Super Bowl thing. So
yeah, that's more of a Super Bowl prop. But I think in a Stanford game, you'd have to set that number at 18.5 in case Shaw wanted to kick one from the 1-yard line.
Yeah, that was a second half under I missed too. It's kind of kicking myself off a few plays from last weekend. But how do we do with
the books?
There's
a lot going on, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. Not a great week for the book. You know, certainly the Rams game was not good for us. All the parlays that were alive from the weekend went to the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Really questionable play calling from Cleveland. The second to last drive, they ran that draw play on 4th and 9. I don't know what that was. And then on the last drive, it was like a reenactment of that 49ers possession in the Super Bowl against Baltimore where they got all the way down to the 4-yard line and then they just threw like 4 low percentage passing plays instead of trying to run the football.
With 3 timeouts.
Yeah, that's a great point by you. And with timeouts, you've got Nick Chubb, one of the best young backs in the league, don't even try to run the ball. I really thought the play calling from Cleveland at the end of that game left a lot to be desired.
I was big on Cleveland coming into the season. I thought they'd make the playoffs. I thought -120 was a strong play. A little worried now. But I think they're a live dog, actually, in Baltimore here.
Well, what you really have going for you, if you do have a Cleveland future bet, would be the status of the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of their divisional rivals. Pittsburgh was a team I thought would be pretty good this year. Obviously, no way of knowing that Ben Roethlisberger would get hurt in week 2 and be out for the year. But that obviously opens the door for the Browns to be neck and neck with Baltimore for the AFC North title.
I agree. And Baltimore's obviously better than people realize, but they've also had a pretty easy schedule to start. And obviously, we got a little bit of a reality check at Arrowhead last weekend. Okay. We got a few interesting games. How did you guys do on the Patriots? You needed the dog in that game, right?
Yeah, that was good for us. They came back. They covered a crazy cover for the Jets. I thought the two big favorites in the morning, the Patriots and the Cowboys, we needed both the dogs, as you can imagine. And I actually thought that the one that shouldn't have covered did, the New York Jets, and the one that I thought probably should have covered, the Miami Dolphins, did not.
Agreed.
So just another crazy week in the NFL where seemingly all the games come right down to the last few minutes in terms of the point spread outcomes.
Yeah, I was on the team total under for the Jets, and I'm sorry, that's just criminal. It really is, because when you're when you're facing the Patriots, you can't count on that. Now, other teams pulling court, but the Patriots are so buttoned up, and you can't give me the that's why you can't lay those big numbers in the NFL. I don't think that applies to New England.
Was that Matt Humans said that?
Well, I think a lot of people was like, I think Humans did on the college pod or whatever. But look, they couldn't get a first down. I was like, and I think my write up for ESPN.com's chalk section was, let's not overthink it. You have the Patriots defense against a third string quarterback, and this is a mismatch.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see the New England Buffalo game this week. I think we're going to learn a lot about Buffalo. Buffalo's defense has looked really good this season. Josh Allen is making progress. Can we say that? I mean, he's not certainly not a top-level quarterback in the NFL, but he's very young. I think he's only 23 years old. I like the size. I like the mobility. I see progress from Allen, and I think we'll learn a lot about where the Bills stand after we watch them play New England. New England team that hasn't given up a touchdown in four games going back to the Super Bowl defensively.
Right.
So we're going to learn a lot about the Bills this week. Buffalo really... they have an opportunity to get into the AFC wild card race right now because of some other teams like Pittsburgh dealing with quarterback injuries. It could potentially open the door for the Bills to get back to the postseason.
Right after the draft last year, I did five prop bets I like for the upcoming season, and all look pretty good. One was Saints to miss the playoffs. Another was Kyler Murray's over passing yards, and the line moved like 300, 400 yards. Another one was Buffalo at 5-1 to make the playoffs. I thought they were... had a shot given the schedule and just the growth of that defense, and then obviously Josh Allen. I like the Bills in this spot. New England's really banged up on the O-line and at running back. No James Devlin here. That hurts their running game, I should say. And as much as they've been great, they haven't played a whole lot. So I think Buffalo's, I'm not going to say quite a live dog, but I really like them to cover here the 7 flat now.
Well, you can only play your schedule, and you know Buffalo. They just play the teams on their schedule. They're 3-0. I think they're very well coached, and it sort of reminds me of that team they had 2 years ago that made the playoffs. That team largely made it to the postseason because some other teams in the AFC were dealing with quarterback injuries. Deshaun Watson missed a big chunk of that season. Andrew Luck missed a big, maybe that whole season, and it kind of opened the door. And then, of course, the miracle play by the Bengals over Baltimore to get them that last spot. So sometimes you just need to be in the right place at the right time, and this could be that kind of a situation for Buffalo. You've got Miami tanking, even though they won't admit it. The Jets are a mess because their quarterback's hurt and several other guys are hurt. And those kind of factors that they can't control could propel them into the postseason, which would be interesting. And I kind of agree with you this week. I don't know that I would want to get in front of the Patriots right now. Like, we're going to need Buffalo huge at the book, I can tell you that much. We've already got a 7-1 ticket count on the Patriots, and that's not going to stop as we get closer to Sunday. New England's going to be involved in every parlay and every teaser on the board here.
Oh, for sure. And I'm with you. And I will say this about New England. You know, you want to criticize their schedule and also Dallas's, which according to FPI is the easiest schedule so far. They've been crushing their opponents. Now, I know the Cowboys kind of trailed 7-0 the first two games, but all in all, they've had dominant performances, and that's not what we saw out of Seattle in the first two games, right? The Seahawks squeaked by Cincy at home, got by Pittsburgh on the road without Big Ben. Like, yeah, they were kind of undefeated 2-0, but it wasn't looking like it was New England and even Dallas out of the gate. So
no,
I'm curious to see how these teams perform because obviously the Patriots and Cowboys have much better opponents this week.
Well, there's different levels of 3-0 teams, and I'm sure we're going to want to talk about the Thursday night game. Green Bay kind of escaped their first two games against Chicago. They absolutely escaped their second game against Minnesota. And then last week they were the beneficiaries of some really bad turnovers by Denver. winning that game. So Green Bay is 3-0 too, but they haven't looked nearly as impressive as Dallas or New England, and that's why you're seeing this line on Thursday night only -4. I just had one of our tellers here come back to me, and she said, why is the line tonight only Green Bay -4? The Eagles stink. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, what's everybody betting on? And she said, the Packers. And I was like, what does that tell you?
What's your ticket count tonight?
4-1 ticket count on Green Bay, and this number has gone the other way, from Green Bay -5 down to Green Bay -4.
A little reverse line movement.
That's a little telling, too. I mean, it's hard to back Philadelphia right now because they are dealing with a lot of guys hurt on both sides of the ball, but I do think this Green Bay team is a little bit overvalued right now. I know they were lucky to cover Denver, in my opinion. Denver kind of gave that, not the game away, but they gave the cover away with some bad turnovers that gave Green Bay some really short fields. And we haven't really seen much from the Green Bay offense yet this season.
This could be a bloodbath for the books. I'm not saying it's going to be, but if you're moving the line down, your ticket count and...
You know, I'll tell you this, it's not really a high-volume game. It's certainly higher volume than last week's Thursday night game, which was a complete dud of a game, unless you were rooting for the officials, because they seem to be involved in every single play.
Brady stopped watching.
yeah, if you're rooting for the refs, it was a great game, but otherwise it was kind of a dud. Tonight's game, more handle than that, but not a really significant handle game. The big decisions are all look like they're all going to be on Sunday because the Monday night game is also a dud.
Oh, you're not excited to see Andy Dalton and Mason Rudolph?
No, somebody told me they thought the public was going to be all over the Steelers, and I was like, I don't think so. I mean, I really don't think the public is going to be rushing to bet on an 0-3 team with a backup quarterback that most of them have never heard of. I just think it's going to be a low-volume game. I just don't think there's going to be much betting interest in the game at all. If that game was at 10 a.m. local time on a Sunday, there'd be almost nothing on that game.
Yeah, fair point. Okay, so what are going to be the big decision games? You're going to need New England, Buffalo. You're going to need the dog there.
I mean, Buffalo for sure. Detroit is really setting up to be a huge one in the morning session. 16-1. I know you love ticket count numbers. 16-1 on the Kansas City Chiefs here. We got the Chiefs -6.5. It's kind of hard to bet against the Chiefs right now. Patrick Mahomes just looks like he's playing a different sport than everybody else. I wouldn't want to get in front of the Chiefs here, but the book is certainly going to need Detroit in a pretty big way on Sunday morning.
Ooh, yeah. So we did a little beat the market. We tried to predict the line move, and I talked to a few odds makers, including Ed Sammons over at your shop, the NFL connoisseur.
NFL expert Ed Sammons.
Yeah, sorry. I thought the Kansas City line would get to 7. He wasn't sure, and he thought New England would definitely get to -7, -20, which it is. I don't think it gets off 7 because then you'll just have a bunch of buyback.
Yeah, it's hard to picture it going through 7. I would agree with
that. But it's only Thursday, and you're already 7-20. Like, are you just going to have just a ridiculous ticket count and not get off 7?
Well, you got to win some of these games sometimes. I mean, you can't – some of these results have to go your way. You're not going to lose all of these games all year. And you don't want to go too far out of line and then take all this Buffalo plus 7.5 money from wise guys, and then it's the week where, you know, you finally get one of those results to go your way, and you don't win nearly as much as you should have.
Right.
So you're just trying to book each game correctly, and you're confident that over the course of the season, over the course of the year, you'll get enough of the results to go your way.
So you don't see yourself coming off?
In the New England game, I'd be shocked if we went to 7.5. There would have to be something significant, like some sort of injury news or a super sharp group came in and played it. I mean, if a really sharp group came in and played New England -7, -120, I mean, that'd be the next place to go, obviously.
Go to 8.
But aside from that, I don't see it happening.
What's it going to take, like a 50-1 ticket count?
The ticket count would never get that wide, but it's just we're not really too worried about the ticket count. The kind of people that are betting New England are the kind of people you want to book. I mean, that doesn't mean they always lose, right? I mean, they win about 50% of the time, too. But you're okay taking bets from these types of players.
Yeah, it's funny. I did my piece on the Miami Dolphins, and Jeff Davis at Caesars said, you know, I'm not too worried because they play all the early games. Even if the public wins, they're just going to put it back through the betting window in the other games.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Jeff for sure, and Jeff's a really sharp guy. The only problem is that sometimes when that happens, they all put it back through the window on the Sunday night game, and the cheap road favorite covers the Sunday night game, and then it's a bloodbath.
Like last week.
Now, you do get it back the next week or the week after that, so Jeff is absolutely correct. But that can lead to a pretty ugly one-day number if you get a result like you got from the Rams on Sunday night.
Gotcha. Okay, so you'll need both home dogs who are undefeated, which is really interesting. You get these undefeated home teams that are catching 6.5 or 7 in Detroit and also Buffalo. What else?
Well, the big one for sure of the week will be Dallas. We'll need New Orleans, the Sunday night game, like we were just talking about. If all these teams like New England, Kansas City, Indianapolis, if Baltimore, I would think the public will be on Baltimore. If all Seattle in the afternoon for sure. If all those teams roll into the Sunday night game, Dallas will be a huge liability for the books. We'll need New Orleans pretty big in that game.
That's interesting. I mean, the Saints, I realize they're not a public team like the Cowboys, but this isn't the Jaguars either. And
backup quarterback.
I know, Dallas, just won though, you know, at home.
No, the public will be on the Saints. We did take a couple of pretty big bets on the Saints, but I got a little bit more than a 3-1 ticket count on the Cowboys here. So I know what you're saying, and I don't think you're wrong. I don't think it's going to be as drastic as that Rams-Browns game was, but I do think we're going to be looking at a very one-sided liability on that game, and I'm confident that the books all over the state will need New Orleans pretty big. Now, that might be different if you look at the books in Mississippi. Sure, they're going to get a ton of New Orleans bets.
Sure.
But here in Nevada, we'll be getting almost entirely Dallas action, and we'll need the Saints pretty big.
We'll learn a lot. We will learn a lot about this Dallas team. This is a big spot.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're the favorites right now in the NFC, right?
Yeah, and you already said it. They've played the easiest schedule in the NFL. It's only been 3 weeks. There's places you can poke holes in the Cowboys, I think. But they've certainly been impressive so far. Right now, we've got them as co-favorites in the NFC. The Los Angeles Rams and the Cowboys are both plus 375 here at the Westgate.
Mm. Yeah, the Rams. No one wants to bet on the Rams. No one does.
Yeah, we do awesome on the Rams in the future book. We did take some pretty big bets on them shortly before the season started, but they're really one of our biggest winners in that pool. The Rams and the Chiefs are two teams that we would win huge numbers on.
That's surprising. Maybe the team, maybe the bettors or the betting public will get back involved. I think this is a total. I think the hangover is going to kick in now. I think this is where the Bucks are a good play.
Yeah, that's a play we have seen some sharp money trickle in on Tampa Bay. They took 10. We're down to 9.5. That one really wouldn't surprise me if it closed more like 8.5 or 9. I think you're going to see the sharper guys taking the Bucks there in that spot. Rams offense really hasn't been very impressive so far this season. I'm putting it nicely. That's a lot of points for them to lay against Tampa Bay.
I think the first half's the line. I think that's the play because the Rams have just been so putrid in the first half.
Yeah, Bucks plus 6.5 here in the first half. It's hard to trust Bruce Arians after that field goal debacle at the end of the game Sunday
Mercy.
Against the Giants.
Do you think he's covering for someone? Do you think he was covering for someone? Do you think they really?
Probably. Arians seems like the kind of guy that would take the shot and cover for his guys. What do you think of the Redskins-Giants game?
I will tell you my pick if you tell me who's going to play quarterback for Washington.
You think could it potentially be Colt McCoy for the Redskins?
If Colt McCoy is playing, give me the Skins.
Yeah, so this number was 3 before the Monday night game, and I was a little surprised that it held up at 3 on the market after the Redskins looked so bad on Monday Night Football. And it's even, we've actually juiced the Redskins plus 3 to minus 120 here. I was at the South Point this morning doing a show with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard. I saw they had 2.5 at the South Point, so a little surprised.
I would lay the 2.5 at South Point because there's no juice. There's no extra juice at South Point.
And a little surprising to me that the Redskins, as bad as they looked, and all the hype surrounding Danny Dimes, that the market is saying the Redskins are still higher power rated than the New York Giants. Now, granted, they obviously don't have Saquon Barkley this week. He's their best player. I understand that. But I'm still a little surprised that line looks a little fishy.
Yeah,
and
that's...
it might mean it's a fishy-looking line. I'd be careful playing the Giants here just because that line is suspicious, Doug.
What would the line be with Barkley?
I think he'd be worth, you know how I feel about the position of running back, but the market would respect it, so I think the number would probably be more like 3.5 or 4. But I just, not 4, let's call it 3.5.
I imagine you're going to need the Raiders.
Yeah, we will. I mean, you're right. And then especially with how easily the Vikings covered the Raiders last week, I know that, and the Colts have really been impressive. You know, in a lot of ways, the Colts should be 3-0. Those Adam Vinatieri misses in week 1 are the only thing preventing Indianapolis from being undefeated right now. Jacoby Brissett has actually taken to Frank Reich's offense better than I thought he would, and I'm a Jacoby Brissett fan. He's looked very good for the Colts. So certainly the public will be on the Colts pretty big here. They're going to be in a lot of money line parlays and a lot of teasers. You got the three, let's call it four games at 10 a.m. that are all around that touchdown range with the Ravens, the Colts, the Chiefs, and the Patriots. We're going to need one of those favorites to get knocked out, or we're going to lose a ton of money on parlays this week.
I've grown a lot, Mr. Director. The old Doug would see that Colts line and think,
stop, hammer time.
But it is not. It is a stay away for yours truly.
I like the old Doug.
I know. And the Colts might cover, but I liked the Vikings last week. Obviously, that was in my bonanza. But this is not so fast. I think this is a Oakland backdoor covers this thing.
I mean, I can't disagree with that. I just like the old Doug. I thought he was fun.
I know you were disappointed in my light card last weekend, which you know actually did really well. I actually loved the Saints. I got involved in a lot more games than I thought. And I just, to be honest, I went to New York right after the show, slept the entire way, and just kind of forgot about. I didn't want to get too aggressive. I had a little groggy in the morning. I just sort of kept my Vikings play and let it go. Long season, Murray.
Oh, it's a long year. What play did I give on this show? I know I gave.
Yeah, well, you went 1-1. The status quo for you this season.
Oh yeah,
solid 1-1.
Staying right in that meaty part of the curve.
Yeah, you're the top of the bell curve there. You're at Indy. You had Indy -1.5 and Denver +7.
Oh yeah.
What do you got for Bears Vikings?
We got the Bears -2. This is going to be a very popular game for teasers. A lot of people are going to tease the Vikings up through 7 in this spot.
Right.
It's a great spot for teasers with this low total of 38, so it makes a lot of sense. And this looks like a game that's going to be a really close division game, probably decided by a turnover. I mean, you could definitely talk about two quarterbacks you could see having a boneheaded turnover cost their team a game. Mitch Trubisky and Kirk Cousins both fit that bill. And they're two very opportunistic defenses. Chicago, I think, had 5 forced turnovers in their win over Washington on Monday night. So I do see this game being a dogfight and one team forcing a bad turnover leading to the victory.
This has first half under written all over it for me.
You know, I couldn't do the show with Brent yesterday. I had to go to a casino P&L meeting at the same time as the show.
That sounds fun.
So one of our managers here, Derek Wilkinson, he pinch hit for me. So, of course, what was the joke? That John was ducking Brent because he gave him a loser the week before. So
what was the pick?
Just those P&L meetings a month in advance here. But, I definitely bore the brunt of it yesterday.
What was the pick that Derek gave?
We gave Saints +2.5 to Mr. Musburger against Dallas. And, again, it's a suspicious number there, a little reverse line movement. I like Philadelphia tonight as well. That's pretty much all I see on the board this week. Maybe Tampa Bay you could talk me into, but I don't see myself getting involved in any of these other NFL games.
We haven't talked about the Miami Dolphins that are
0-3. Yeah, actually, I'm glad you brought it up because it's been one of the more interesting games this week is that Charger-Miami game, and I'll tell you why. There's nothing on it. People aren't even betting the Chargers. I don't think anybody wants to lay 15.5 points on the road with Phillip Rivers and Anthony Lynn. And they're certainly not going to bet the Dolphins. So it looks to be, as of the recording of this show, our least bet game of the week. Titans-Falcons looks like number one. It looks like number two in terms of the least volume of any game this week on the betting board.
I want no part of that. It's an early time slot. That Chargers team, they may lose. I mean, if the Chargers are still the Chargers, they lose that game. I don't think they are, but
I don't think that I don't think it's possible. I mean, I just think that the Dolphins are too bad. I don't think the Chargers could actually
really should
give
have
away.
Covered. They should have covered last week. It's ridiculous that they did not.
Oh yeah, the Dolphins should have covered the Dallas game for sure. And I think it was a penalty on Xavien Howard that extended a Dallas drive where they were just running out the clock. And then they couldn't help but score a touchdown.
Well, the Dolphins haven't led this year yet. They had the ball down 10-6, marching in for the score before halftime, and then they fumbled inside the 10.
Yeah, I read an article Bill Barnwell wrote this morning about the Dolphins, and I thought it was interesting. Obviously they're terrible, we know that, but he kind of was doing a deep dive into just how bad they are. And I think it was they had the worst point differential through 3 games of any team since 1950.
Yeah, I wrote a piece last week and it was tied for the second most through 2 games
Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz, excuse me, does something where they were the worst team in his database, which I think went back to 86. They were the worst team through two games.
Barnwell also had something in there about, like, they've been down. They've never made it out of the first half of the first quarter, still tied in the game. I mean, that's how quickly the other teams are getting ahead of them.
A couple games we haven't discussed. I actually like Arizona catching five here at home to Seattle. I think they're a live dog.
Yeah, that'll be a spot in the afternoon. The card in the afternoon is pretty weak, frankly. I mean, the Vikings-Bears will be a good handle game. I don't know that the other three will be. Jaguars-Broncos, not going to really move the needle too much. Seattle's a team the public will be all over. They love these road favorite-type plays, and Seattle's coming off of a loss, so they need the game, quote-unquote. So
how good is Seattle, though?
Yeah, I think people will be all over. It's already over 5.5-1 on Seattle here, so we'll be rooting for Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. I hope he doesn't kick a field goal from inside the 2-yard line, but if he does, he does.
And do you have a feel in this Jacksonville game? You want to hear my get off my lawn moment here?
Sure.
If I'm on the Jaguars, maybe if I'm the coaching staff, do I want my quarterback in Washington hanging out at college again instead of kind of like preparing for next week's game?
You were offended by the jorts that he wore, weren't
you?
No,
I love the jorts, and I love Gardner Minshew. It's like un-American to talk any smack about him. But I'm just saying, if they're on a bye week, fine. But, it's not the best
look. Well, they played on the Thursday night game, right? I mean,
but he is a rookie, and there's some discipline issues already in Jacksonville, right? Can we establish that? Not exactly the most buttoned-up organization. Let me ask you this: Would Brady have been at the Michigan game if they played on Thursday night?
Brady would be like working out somewhere, or stretching, or something.
Yeah, sleeping 12 hours in like a hydro chamber or something. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just saying
cryogenic chamber.
Yeah, yeah. I love Minshew. I don't want to upset the masses here. I'm just saying it was a little strange. To the point where I saw it, I was like, oh, Jackson was on a bye next week. And it wasn't like this was the championship game. They had UCLA at home. Now, it ended up being an epic game, but it was just strange. Opposite side of the country. I'm just saying.
All right, that's fine.
The Jalen Ramsey stuff.
It didn't really bother me at all, but, you're becoming an old man on his lawn, so you're good.
That's true. I am in my 40s. Why is the steam here on Denver?
I don't know that there's nothing really to report in terms of bets we've seen here on this game.
Because it's moved a little bit.
Yeah, it has, but it's just us moving with the market. I don't know what those players are seeing there. I think Flacco is the worst quarterback in the NFL that hasn't been forced into the lineup by injuries. I don't know that I can back Denver again, but I wouldn't get involved with Jacksonville yet either. I mean, I know everybody's so excited about Minshew, but we still don't really know what he is yet. And Denver is pretty good defensively, at least they're supposed to be. So I think this is a tricky spot for Minshew on the road here.
I guess I misspoke. It hasn't really been steam. It's been -3, -20 for most of the week. There's some -25s out there, but
we really haven't had anything here on that game at all. And low total. Another it's a very, very low volume afternoon. Like I said, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near what we saw the last weekend.
All right, my friend. I think we've covered them all, and I think it's about that time.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
I let the tunes marinate for a little bit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, sir. I was rewarded by only going with one play last week. That was the Vikings. Never a sweat. -9. Got there. I need to do the math. I think I'm
very easy.
I think I'm
very good.
Even.
Good pick, really. It was a very easy win.
Yeah, I know my Raiders. I know my Raiders pretty well. And I would never take them plus like 7 this week or 6.5 in Indy, but I'm not betting against them. I think I knew the Vikings would open up a can. So you split your picks, as I mentioned, lost $100.
Yeah, I seem to lose $100 a week. It'd be easier for me to just donate $100 a week to the charity of your choice instead of
Travis, do you have a baby on the way?
No.
No. Okay. So Travis does not have a baby on the way like Kai last year. So we are going to have to arrange accordingly.
Not that he knows about, yeah.
Correct.
We might have to come up with a different charity or some Something. We got to do something.
I like alcohol. You can use the money towards that.
Yeah, he likes Tito's, so maybe we can get a Tito's sponsor. Or Murray, the season's long. We can work. We can get you working on that project.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know the alcohol. That's not as touching as what we did for Kyle.
No, I meant you could do the. You can participate. It'd be about your baby bankroll bonanza.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully not.
Okay. All right, my friend. So it's a light start for me here as well, but I do envision getting involved on Twitter plays and stuff like that. So do you have a play at all?
Yeah, I'll give you another two. One of them is the Musburger play that I told you about, New Orleans Saints plus 2.5. I'll do that one for 500. Do you want me to just give you both of them, or do you want to wedge in yours?
Yeah, I'll wedge in mine. So I have a team total, my friend. Do you have a Monday night team total for your both the teams involved?
I mean, I can just figure out what it is if we haven't turned it on yet. We don't have it on yet, it looks like, but I can just tell you what it's going to be.
Yeah, so it's going to be Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Who do you got? What are your team totals there?
If the total's 44, just about. All you have to do is look at the
right, but the I'm worried about the total. Hook.
What's that?
Sometimes you guys add a hook in there.
Yeah, hold on, I got to find the game. You could have told me about this before we did the show.
Yeah, that's all right.
Hold on, I got to get to the game itself. And then I have
a DraftKings. I have 19.5 for Cincinnati over minus 30.
We would use 24 and 20 because right now the game is minus 4 and the total's 44. So if we had the team totals up right now, it would be Bengals 20 and Steelers 24.
Okay, I would like a nickel on the Bengals over 20 points.
Done. I'm fine with it.
Yeah? Survey says good?
I'm good with it, and yeah, like I said, very low volume game. I mean the Monday night schedule. Even if you look further down a few weeks in the future, some pretty low energy Monday night games.
Well, I'm a company man, but I can't say with a straight face that the Dolphins Steelers game is going to command a lot of eyeballs.
Oh, I'm not saying that people shouldn't watch. That's what we're here for. I mean, we're giving everybody reasons to watch some of these games, like Bengals Steelers, like Jacksonville Denver. New York.
What's your second play?
Philadelphia. I'll take Philadelphia plus 4 tonight. I think they're going to get right tonight on the road at Lambeau. I know the book's going to be rooting for them. It's not going to be a big decision, but every little bit helps. And we'd be happy to see the Eagles win tonight on Thursday Night Football.
So plus 4 for another nickel.
Yeah, I'm sorry, for 550 to win 500. And hopefully the refs decide to potentially stay out of this game, at least for a few plays. And let some of the players play the game.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a nice change of pace on Thursday Night Football.
I want to do a parlay involving some money lines and things like that. Should we do it on Twitter or should we do it now?
It's up to you. Do you have it calculated?
I have the teams.
Okay.
So what's your first half total? 18.5, right? At Soldier Field?
Yeah, I think so. Let's go to first halves.
I'm looking at
you got to tell me about this stuff so I know, so I have the numbers ready.
I know, but, you know.
Team totals and first half totals, 18.5.
Okay.
So
we're going to do that. We're going to do Arizona plus 5.
Okay.
And the Dallas Cowboys money line. So we're opposite a game. Well, I guess we both could win there.
Dallas Cowboys. So it's a three-team parlay?
Yeah, what's your money line on the Cowboys? I guess that's what the question I had it would be.
Cowboys.
It's exciting.
Minus 140. Minus 140 on the money.
So it's I will do a 250 parlay, and my calculator says pays 1312.
Let me see. 250.
See, I already did
calculate. I got it as 1312.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, sir.
Okay, confirm.
That's what we got.
Got,
I'm a man of the people.
12.
We're doing man of the public, man of the people doing parlays.
I'm good with it, but you got to give me the heads up so I know where the numbers are going to be on the board there if you're going to be all over the place. I mean, I know the side numbers off the top of my head. I don't know the team totals and first half totals without looking.
Okay, fair enough. So I had them out to a certain extent. Okay, so those are our two wagers. I might get more involved with the Twitter. But that's where we are now, and I'll have a total and updated amount and everything like that. I have obviously all the podcasts recorded and I have all the spreadsheet. I just haven't updated it from last week. But My friend, always good catching up, and we will we'll do it again next week for both the college and the NFL podcast.
Yeah, maybe even touch a little baseball. Baseball playoffs start Tuesday, potentially in Washington, D.C.
Do you think we'll have a game 163 anywhere?
I don't know. I don't really know. Is there, I guess in the American League wild card race, we could, right?
Right.
It's possible. But I'm certainly hoping that the NL wild card game is in D.C. Unfortunately for us, the Brewers win every day.
Yep, and they're winning right now.
Today was a tough spot for the Brewers. The night after they clinched the playoffs, they play a morning game, Castillo going for the Reds, and they're running away with another victory. So the Brewers are just crushing it right now.
Yeah, I thought about betting the Reds again today. Or not again.
It was a bad spot for Milwaukee, and they got it done again. Or they're getting it done.
That's frustrating, isn't it? But congratulations to you. Dozier dancing in the locker room was quite entertaining.
I was there in May visiting my family, and we went to a game where the Nationals' record win-loss record was 19-31. So they were playing the Marlins. So if somebody had told me then that they'd make it as a wild card, whether it was home or away, I would have jumped out my chair to accept that offer.
Well done. Well done, sir. All right, my man. Thank you very much, and we'll talk next week.
Yep, I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, thanks to Mr. Executive Director. Mike Clay is coming up momentarily, but first, a word from one of our sponsors. When I talk about Dollar Shave Club, I can't stress enough the quality of their products. They've spent years developing, crafting, refining everything. They have everything I use to look, feel, and smell my best. You name it, they have it, and I use it. I've been a Dollar Shave Club member for years, and as amazing as their shave stuff is, Dollar Shave Club is way more than just razors. Dollar Shave Club has you covered head to toe. They have everything you need to shower, shave, style your hair, brush your teeth, and more. And Dollar Shave Club can keep you automatically stocked up on the products you use. You get what you want whenever you need it, whether that's once a month or a few times a year. I never have to waste time at a store wondering if what I'm getting is any good. As a Dollar Shave Club member, I know what I'm getting is the highest quality. And right now, you can put the quality of Dollar Shave Club's products to the test. Their Ultimate Shave Starter Set has basically everything you need for an amazing shave. The Executive Razor, Shave Butter, Prep Scrub, and Post Shave Do. The best part is you can try it for just $5. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at regular prices. Get your Ultimate Starter Set for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/bets. That's dollarshaveclub.com/bets.
Nerd alert!
It's the mating call for Mike Clay. Good to have you here in studio, my friend.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. We started, I want to say slow, but what's slower than slow? Like, we had a standstill running backward. Yeah. We had a terrible start last week.
Tortoise,
but we got
tortoise level speed.
Really bad start, but we got it rolling after that. We were hot on the primetime games.
So you bounced back on Sunday and Monday nights, right? Yeah. Got some wins, and then you gave out. You went 2-0 on Monday on Daily Wager. I was off, but I noticed, so nice job there. And look, you gave out 4 plays for Jags-Titans, and you have 4 plays on Monday between Bengals and Steelers without Big Ben. So not exactly appointment viewing, but we got 4 plays. So we'll get to those momentarily.
Some good ones there. Yeah.
Let's start tonight. Obviously a much better game, at least on paper it is, with the Packers and Eagles. Philly pretty banged up. What you got for us?
Yeah, we're going to go both with the Packers here. I'm going to start with Aaron Rodgers under 0.5 interceptions. The juice is kind of ugly here, -$1.75. But this guy does not throw interceptions. 0 so far this season. Last year, he became the first player in NFL history with over 400 pass attempts and fewer than 4 interceptions. The guy's just money in this department. The Eagles, by the way, with essentially the same defense. Honestly, it's beat up right now without Darby and Mills, but they only had 10 interceptions last season. And again, it's pretty much the same personnel. Kind of a random number as well, so it's not like it's a team that's really a standout in the secondary. Also, the Packers aren't throwing as much as usual. 31 pass attempts per game for Rodgers. That's a career low for him, and this could potentially be a positive game script. So I think there's about a 70% chance he gets at 0, and the line here suggests 64%, so I'm in on this one.
So -$1.75, and that's going to be 64.
And that's factored into the 64.
Right, yeah. Okay. What
still
else?
A good bet. The other one is Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and I was surprised to see this one. 3.5 receptions. You might see it at 4 some other places, but I still like it. I think he's going to be over 4 in this game. He is a full-time player 86% of the pass plays they've run so far, he's been on the field for. He's handling a 25% target share, which is just behind Davante Adams. I mean, they are featuring him in this offense. 6-plus targets every game. He has 13 catches in 3 games. And the Eagles, as mentioned, beat up secondary. They allow a ton of completions to pass catchers, 9th most in the league so far. In fact, 8 receivers have already caught at least 4 passes against the Eagles in only 3 games. And again, MVS, like Adams, is a perimeter receiver, which means he will see Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas all night long. It's a great setup here.
Yeah, so Anita Marks on the show, who does a nice job with our props and things like that as well, said that MVS fits sort of the mold of receivers that have succeeded already against Philly this year, like Ridley at Atlanta and stuff like that. Would you further that point?
No question. No question. The Eagles have been lit up. The only, I'll put it this way. They played 3 games, so they face 6 starting perimeter corners.
Receivers.
Perimeter receivers, of course. The only one that hasn't had a good game is Kenny Golladay, and even he had 8 targets. I mean, 5 out of the 6 had at least 4 catches. 4 of them had at least 5 catches. And that's, of course, the line here is 3.5. Again, 4 some other places. You know, he is positioned well to blow by this one. So,
what do you make of the Packers just struggling? It's, again, 3-game sample size, including the opener, which a lot of times that's rust, but struggling in the second halves compared to what they've done in the first halves.
Well, I think part of it's who they're playing,
right?
I mean, how often do you see Minnesota, Denver, and Chicago bad defensive games? And that's part of the reason, like Davante Adams, like there's concerns that he's off to a slow start. I mean, he was shadowed by Chris Harris, Xavier Rhodes, and played that Bears defense. Right. It was a terrific secondary. I mean, they had a tough start to the season for sure, and it should open up, especially here against the Eagles. I mean, I don't think they should be able to go 60 minutes just lighting up the secondary and attacking it like everybody else does, because Eagles stopped the run well too, which is probably to their detriment, because teams game plan to attack their secondary, and it works. They continue for well over a year now to get destroyed.
Eagles on the verge of being 1-3. What do you make of that?
Yeah.
I know injuries have played a role, but...
Well, I'm an Eagles fan, so...
I know, that's why I'm asking.
It's not great. It's tricky. I was talking to Field Yates earlier on the Fantasy Podcast about this. Like, you just don't... The Eagles falling to 1-3, it almost inspires you to pick them, right? Like, this team that's this good, going to 1-3 with Carson Wentz playing well, it doesn't add up. It's almost a reason to think that they're going to come in and win this game. I think logically, I'm picking the Packers, 27-24. I still think they're the better team here. They're at home. Defense is playing well. They have Aaron Rodgers. There's plenty of reasons to believe they're going to win, but... The Eagles' schedule going forward is one of the easiest in the league. The Cowboys, meanwhile, who are 3-0 right now, have one of the hardest in the NFL. So I still think there's hope for the Eagles to turn it around, even if they fall to 1-3, but it's going to be an uphill climb for sure.
Let's go to Sunday night. Cowboys, you just mentioned them. They've, according to the FBI, played the easiest schedule to this point. They're in New Orleans, obviously no Drew Brees. What do you got for us here?
Yeah, and we talked about that on the Daily Wager in April when the schedule came out, that the Cowboys were going to come out with such an easy schedule. Dolphins, Giants, Redskins, so no surprise there. Zeke Elliott obviously missed a lot of the offseason, but he comes in here with a 92.5 line at minus $1.10, and I think the under is a good bet. I mean, again, he missed a lot of the offseason, still came in running well, right? He's averaging 5.25 yards per carry, about average after contact, so he's been pretty effective, though he's doing a little bit less as a pass catcher. Again, he's taken advantage, his attempts have been up, facing an extremely light schedule, as we mentioned, but it's going to get tougher, including this week against the Saints. No running back ran for more than 75 yards in a game against the Saints last season. Remember, this line is 92.5. That includes Zeke. He had 23 carries when he played the Saints. 75 yards in that game, just 3.3 yards per carry. The Saints are just terrific at slowing opposing running backs, and this year, they've been about the same. Todd Gurley and Chris Carson both held below 4 yards per carry, so... I think he will fall short here. And again, he did that a lot. I mean, last season he fell short of 93 yards in 9 of his 17 games, including 5 of 8 on the road. So he's no stranger to putting in lines below this. I think this sets up to be one of those games.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the juice here, just because it's such a public game, a public player, public team.
Mm-hmm.
But the smart money, it sounds like, will be on the under. Let's go to Monday night. Barn burner.
Here we go.
You got 4 picks for us. Fire away, buddy.
I couldn't believe it. I was all over these. 3 Bengals and 1 Steeler here. So let's start with Andy Dalton. Over 262.5
really?
Passing yards. Over on this one on the road against the Steelers. A couple reasons for this. The Bengals, very pass heavy. In fact, they've called pass on 73% of their offensive plays this season. That is third highest in the NFL. Remember, new coaching staff. They're not afraid to throw the ball, obviously. Dalton, as a result, 978 yards in 3 games. That's 326
wow.
per game so far. That includes 418 in Seattle and 311 against San Francisco, who's playing pretty good defensively. 249 yards at Buffalo last week in that comeback effort. They almost pulled that off. that's a tough thing to do. I mean, he's maybe we're over underrating him right now.
Well, like, with the different coach, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, he's delivering a lot of production in the passing game. Dalton right now second in the league in pass attempts and passing yards, and now facing the Steelers. They've allowed 76 completions so far. That's sixth most, and 918 yards through the air. That is third most, one of the fifth highest yards per attempt, the fourth highest completion percentage. You
Dalton,
get the idea.
You wouldn't think is an overplay. Okay.
Yeah, in fact, actually, all three quarterbacks that have faced the Steelers have gone over 277 yards this season, which is well above this line. So, a lot to like. I have him at 297, so I'm way above this line.
Next one?
Next one is Joe Mixon. At running back, if I have the over on Dalton, I'm going to go under on Joe Mixon. They're not running the ball enough. The line here is 67.5, which is surprising because he comes into this game with 88 yards rushing this season. I mean, the line is almost there. That's his total in three games. I know he missed a part of week one with the injury, but the efficiency here has not been great. Running backs so far have totaled 48 carries in Cincinnati. That is eighth fewest in the league, and they only have 120 yards. That is second fewest. Mixon, again, if you look at the past two games, when he has been healthy, he's only out-snapped Gio Bernard 69 to 49, and he has only 26 carries during those two games. The volume is just not there. And the Steelers are struggling against the run, yes, but they face the run-heavy Steelers and the run-heavy 49ers, and that is really added up because if you look at yards per carry, it's been around league average. So I'm at 51 yards and 12 carries. I'm way below this one.
Okay, so under in rushing, over in Dalton. So Tyler Boyd up next. I think I know where you're going. 73.5 receiving yards. And so why specifically Boyd instead of just all the other receivers?
Mike Hilton, that's why. And maybe I shouldn't hammer him too much. He's been heavily targeted this year, 33% of his coverage snaps, the Steelers slot corner, of course. But it's just like it's a Steelers problem. They are not good at stopping slot receivers. It's an ongoing issue. Boyd, of course, primarily lines up inside for the Bengals. And just, I mean, think about these numbers here. The Steelers have allowed the sixth most receiving yards to receivers this season. That includes 530 yards the players lined up in the slot. 530 yards in three games the players lined up in the slot. That's 88 more yards than any other team in the NFL. And weirdly enough, I mean, not weirdly, coincidentally, not coincidentally, they were worse last year too. I mean, it's just an area where for a long time they have really struggled. So think about Philip Dorsett, 95 yards. Most of them came in the slot. Julian Edelman, 83 yards against the Steelers. Tyler Lockett, Josh Gordon, all of these receivers reached 73 yards against the Steelers this season. They are just not good at defending that spot. And Boyd, by the way, without A.J. Green, 11 targets and 83 yards per game so far. I mean, he's been good. He's getting a lot of volume. Steelers can't stop the slot. It sets up perfectly for
him. And Warren Sharp does a lot of video stuff on Twitter and things like that. He said that, you know, Tomlin's defense is just they put linebackers on slot receivers and stuff, and that's what makes no sense and why they've been obliterated in some matchups.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because they just traded for Minka Fitzpatrick.
Correct.
So you wonder if they're aware of that and they're going to try to use somebody versatile like him to help out in that department. Of course, he's just getting familiar with that Steelers defense. So we'll see. I don't think that's going to happen this week.
Right, but he was the Swiss Army knife for Alabama. He played a little safety, a little linebacker. Now you can get away with that in college because of your size, and that doesn't always happen. Although the Chargers did that against the Ravens last year with their safety, who Derwin James was.
Yeah, they have all kinds of versatile guys.
Right,
it was a perfect defense with Adrian Phillips, and I mean, Desmond King can play safety. I mean, that matchup was perfect for the versatility the Chargers.
So maybe the Cincinnati team total is the play, 20.
20? Yeah, I have to, I'm pretty sure I'm over
20,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
All right, and finally, you have a Steelers prop for us. Juju Smith-Schuster, 80.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, I like the under on this one for Juju Smith-Schuster. Receiving yardage total so far for him, 78, 84, 81. Very consistent, very close to this line of 80.5. But here's the thing. 60% of his yardage so far have come on three plays.
I was just about to say he's got the big play in his arsenal.
Yeah, yeah, but is that something that's sustainable? Is that something you want to bet on, especially with Mason Rudolph?
No.
Kind of struggling so far, right? He's very conservative, under 7 yards per in terms of average depth of target, average depth of throw, completing 56% of his passes, 6.2 yards per attempt. It hasn't been good. And in his first start last week against San Francisco, Smith-Schuster had 81 yards, but again, 76 came on that long touchdown. He was a dud the entire game until he just happened to score that long touchdown. So, yeah, occasionally he's going to hit those, but can you count on them? Do you want to rely on them when making bets like this? I do not think so. Not to mention that they're playing the Bengals. Teams have attempted only 81 passes against them so far and completed 54. Both of those are lowest in the NFL. Teams are not throwing against the Bengals. In fact, only 30 receptions allowed by wide receivers against the Bengals so far, third fewest in the league. So I'm closer to 67 yards on this one, Doug. I think you fall short.
That's such a sweat. You know, when you have these props like that, like there were some last week with completion. I think it was pass attempts for Matt Ryan was 39.5. I like taking under those when it lands 32. You got a little buffer, but some of these receiver props, especially on Monday night, was just a total sweat.
Yeah, it was. That was the case last week on in that Titans-Jags game because I think, all four of them were receivers that we were talking about. So we hit on one out of three. The other ones were super close.
And then the game can get away like Monday night. The Redskins are throwing basically the entire second half. It can be time. All right, my man, it's always good having you on here. Appreciate it. And enjoy the weekend.
Yep, we're going to get back on track this week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Come on.
All right, thanks to Mike. Got four plays on Monday and then obviously plays tonight as well and on Sunday. So thanks to Mike Clay. Thanks to Mr. Director. That was fun. That was fun, Travis. And we also learned you do not have any children or children on the way.
No, I do not.
All right.
It's a good thing. But I just want to know, how does Mike Clay, if all your picks are Monday night, you can't freak out with your games on Sunday and, you know, make some outrageous plays on Monday to try to catch up?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. Back in the old days, Monday night would be the end of the week, like the close of the week. Now Sunday night is sort of the bailout game, and you can start the week out strong on those Monday props. But it used to be the Monday Night Football used to be the chase game.
So this
is some bookies still do that.
He could start the week off bad, then, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, with four plays, you're right. But this week, hey, we started out strong. He had a couple plays, 2-0 on daily wager, 1-0 here. You know, or you just bet like regular amounts and don't have huge starts or huge ends to the week, things like that.
Well, that's not exciting.
I know. But you know, that's what parlays are for and things like that. All right, man, you got any good feel? You got any games you love this weekend?
I like the Seahawks.
Oh, you're against me then.
Yes, I just don't trust them yet. They need to show me something legitimate, and then I'm going to go with the Cowboys.
Yeah, and you like the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm
there too as well. I got to come around. I'm a little nervous about that venue.
But, and the Patriots.
So you do like the Patriots.
I am team Josh Allen.
Oh, you okay.
But I'm not going to bet against the Patriots.
Yeah, it's tough to bet against them, which I did not do in the Bonanza. But I think that game's going to be pretty close, man. I really do. I think the Patriots are thin. But they're awesome on D. So I like the under in that game. That was one of the games I might come heavy on Twitter with the under in that game.
So that's what I got.
All right, sir. Good talking to you here and seeing you here. And one note, don't forget, we do some UFC talk here, but obviously there's a ton over at Ariel Helwani's MMA show. So go check that out. And obviously there's some good information for you gamblers out there, or just the UFC fans in general. A lot of good content. Ariel's a good dude, been super awesome every time I've seen him, either back when I was covering UFC events and also here on the ESPN campus when he stops by. So it's a fun show as well. Go check it out.